Bum bum bum
Man.
bum 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 bum.
Podcast. No.
I don't
That's
know.
the new one.
I don't know that that intro caught you because that was totally quiet on my part.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Man, that's okay. That's totally cool.
Okay.
I'm okay with that. So what are we gonna tackle first besides the obvious story? I don't even think we can even talk about that obvious story on Nola Nerdcast, but this is the whole most hilarious story I come encounter with in the past day, which makes me think Nintendo has copyrights on a lot of things.
Well, tell me about this Nintendo thing.
Well, I just sent it in the chat, and I don't know if this is PG-13 friendly.
Oh, we've got the E tag up, so Bowser's penis, huh?
Apparently, Nintendo has a copyright on Bowser's penis.
Oh, jeez, yep, there it is. Huh. Well, and this is the most important lesson. You have to do the thing that those people that make dragon dildos. You have to go. You have to be vague.
It's. I think this is a fantastic story and a fantastic lesson to everybody. And the lesson is: don't fuck with Nintendo.
Just say giant dinosaur penis, and just be done with it. Don't say. Here's the thing about Nintendo, and this is the most well-known thing about Nintendo. Nintendo has watchdogs in every corner of the internet. And the second you say any of their keywords and the possibility of selling it, they are on you.
Yeah.
That's why when you're making a fan game based on Nintendo property, you don't say anything until it's done. And then you release it, and you're like, oh, whoopsie doodle, my bad.
Yeah, because there's that Metroid Prime 2D game.
Yep.
That just looks amazing. Yep. And I haven't saw any news about a cease and desist.
It's coming. They did the dumb. They mentioned that it exists, and now they're gonna get DMCA'd.
Man. Nintendo's really good at doing that. I think that's the moral of this story, everybody.
The Nintendo, you need to treat Nintendo like the secret police.
Yes.
Assume they're always watching.
Kotaku did the story first, and it was the comments on this in the story is hilarious. And then Polygon, I was on Polygon's site just looking at news, and then that story popped up, and I'm like, oh, man, this is making the rounds. Mm. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Any exciting news?
I'm sorry, did you ask about exciting news?
Yeah.
No.
Top that, Chris. Top that.
Well, I couldn't possibly hope to top Bowser's penis. Oh God, you ever have those moments where you sit down and you're like, yeah, I'm ready to do the podcast. I've got ideas. And then you get in front of the microphone and it's like,
not today. Today is the chill cast.
Yeah, we're just gonna hang out. I will say I have hit a groove in Persona 5 Royal.
Oh, cool! So what you got going on, man?
All right, so the main thing I've noticed about Royal so far. Number one is the new confidant, Kasumi.
Uh-huh.
She also shows up in the intro thing, so she will be part of the Phantom Thieves. I also feel like getting confidants is a lot easier. Like, it's now July, and the doctor is at like 8.
Yeah.
So I feel like they've made it a little bit easier to raise your confidant levels.
Well, that was good because like it seems like you just had to do multiple playthroughs.
Yeah.
To get that happening. So having that happen much faster just really opens up the world.
Yes. So otherwise, I don't know what else to tell you. I mean, Persona 5 is a great game.
It really is.
I love it. I love hanging out in the world of it.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the best things that they could have possibly done is just make it more, open.
Yeah. No, I think that's the biggest thing about like Persona 6. It's like, what are we going to get from that since it's going to be a next gen game? Like, what are we gonna get from them on a next gen system?
Well, and here's a question. Maybe you can answer this because I wasn't really paying attention at the time. But what do you remember of Persona 4?
Not much, honestly.
Because I remember that it was a Persona great 3. Game.
Yeah, I liked Persona 3 more than I liked 4.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to couch of. When the announcement of 5 came out, it seemed like 5 completely overshadowed 4.
It really did.
And 5 is just so popular. So I wonder if 6 is going to have something about backlash of it.
And it might. I think what worked with 5 is the reveal, the art style. Because when you're throwing red and black and white in an opening, that already catches people's eyes. People like that. You know, Persona 4's got yellow happening in it. So that's already thrown people off. But, like, that Persona 5 intro and that debut of that game and the style and the music, everything about Persona 5 just hits.
Mm.
That's what the kids are saying? It bops? Is that what the kids are saying?
It's a bop, yeah.
It's a bop? Persona 5 has that drip. Is that right?
I guess. Listen, you're talking to an old man here. I can't. Matt had to explain the other day the difference of Pog and Poggers.
I don't know. What does that even mean?
Okay, well, hold on. Let me pull up the exact text.
Are you talking about like the game Pog with the little disc?
Okay. That you throw so he said, "I need a Pog Champ Himbo Daddy."
What?
Okay.
Hold on,
because I was like, I don't know what that is. He's like, Poggers means good, like you did great. Replace Poggers with congrats. So a Pog champ is someone who did really great and is a champion at it. So,
I still don't understand why.
Listen, man, you've played Cyberpunk. You've read Cyberpunk stuff. This is all new slang.
This is new. Yeah, this is new slang. You're right. No, you're right. This is new slang.
You know,
thanks to Disco Elysium, I like using the word disco now. Like, if something is really just like out there and just insane and totally rad and groovy, I like just saying disco randomly. I'm like, that's totally disco.
Well, you know, as a young man, when Batman Beyond first came out, and they kept using the word shway. I was like, that's stupid. Why on earth would they use shway? Turns out it just happened from whatever the fucking equivalent of Twitch was. Like Pog.
Like Pog. Oh, all these kids and their... Man, I'm not worried about the future generation, honestly. I think they're way ahead of their time, and they will attempt to save the world, but whatever. On that note, I am spreading the good word of communism in Disco Elysium, and it's quite entertaining.
Okay, so tell me, how are you dealing with it?
I'm enjoying the game very much so. I really like the political atmosphere of the game. I like how things are broken down, and it's such an artificial world, but it's so based in reality in so many ways, and the political concepts are very much based in reality. I love the inner monologues. That just gets me on a whole nother existence, and it just reminds me of my day-to-day interactions with people. I have very strange inner monologues when people are having conversations with me, and I'm thinking of things that they talk about. It's just like when you were like PogChamp, and I was like, I have to look this up. But like in the mind, I'm thinking, it's like, what the fuck is he talking about? Is he talking about Pogs from the 90s? And it's like in my brain is like, Pog, it's a game that was played in the 90s. You almost broke your brother's nose from a metal Pog.
Oh, one of the slammers.
Oh, the slammers. Yeah, I almost like broke my brother's nose with one.
Beautiful.
So I also love the art style of the game. There's something about Disco Elysium that speaks to me on so many levels. And it's a very bleak and depressing game that's nearly everything is apocalyptic, but there's something cozy about the world. Because all the characters are very much human, and they're very much real. And it's some of the best writing in a video game I've experienced. Probably, you know, in a while. Like, something that has set me back, and I'm like, oh man, I really gotta take this in. But yeah, I'm spreading the good word of communism. And I'm gonna fail miserably, because communism always fails.
I mean, so far.
So far. But the thing, I can go political and actually explain that communism can succeed as long as there's other systems that allow it to succeed. So if you're going to establish a communist government, you have to recognize capitalism. You can't just say capitalism doesn't exist, down with capitalism. It's like, no, you have to recognize capitalism. It's just like communism and capitalism are a lot like the God and devil. So you have to have both of them. You can't just have one. It's a two-sided coin. And it's your choice on which you want to represent what. Communism could be the devil or it could be God. And capitalism could be, you know, it's the same type of setup. But both of them have to exist. And then you have to have that middle ground. You have to have, like, the moralist. And you have to have the ultra liberals. You have to have something that's gonna kind of conflict but still exist in that world. And at the end of the day, all of those organizations need to come together and rid the world of fascists. That's the real goal of all existence. And that's the real story there, I feel like, with Disco Elysium, is that all of these ideologies eventually have to come together to defeat fascism.
I think that's very profound.
Thank you. Because they're fighting, you know, if all of these ideologies are fighting against each other at all times, the fascists win. And the idea of all existence is to not let fascism win. Because it's just like when you think about fascism, fascism is complete order. And complete order is death. And everything else is just chaos. But chaos needs to get organized, not put into order. And through its organization, it protects its existence.
Okay.
So that's it. That's all I got. Okay. That's how I live my life.
Did you see Godzilla vs. Kong?
I did not, but it's on my list. I think I'm going to do a back-to-back movie of Godzilla vs. Kong and Mortal Kombat.
Oh my god, that Mortal Kombat movie looks super cool.
Oh, it looks so cool. It looks really, really cool. Let's do a spoiler real quick.
Okay.
10 seconds.
10 seconds of spoiler time.
10 seconds of spoiler time. Because we're going to talk about Godzilla and Kong real quick if you didn't watch it.
Yeah.
So I did spoil myself because I wanted to make sure Godzilla was going to win. Because if you're going to title it Godzilla versus Kong, Godzilla's got to win. We can't have this nonsense of King Kong beating Godzilla. We can't have this nonsense.
All right. Now, let the record Godzilla show. Godzilla reigns supreme. Let the record show, I am very pro-Godzilla. However, I'm not going to discount a giant ape that is also using tools.
You're right. But Godzilla's got radiation breath. Just saying.
And Godzilla and Kong has a counter to radiation breath.
Whatever.
He does. Look, you can't be mad. That's the movie. The movie has it.
You're right. Isn't Mechagodzilla in the movie?
Yes.
Oh man, that didn't sound like it was good.
No, so it was a little frustrating because I love Mechagodzilla tremendously.
Yeah.
And actually, I thought how they worked it was clever because they kind of Pacific Rimmed it with two of King Ghidorah's heads. Because King Ghidorah had a psychic link between its heads. So, like, one was inside Mechagodzilla and one was inside the guy controlling it. Which is kind of neat. I like that.
That's fun.
Yeah. But I feel like it ended far too quick.
Okay.
Feels like, I don't know. It just felt like he showed up and then he was gone.
Yeah. Mechagodzilla is good. It's good. It's fun.
It's a great idea.
Yeah, somebody was talking about the movie at work, and I was like, look, you know what? I haven't seen it. And they're like, it's awesome. It's great. It's dumb. The movie's dumb in so many ways,
it's a very dumb movie.
Yeah, it's entertaining, and it's really cool to watch giant monsters fight each other and destroy cities. And I was like, yeah, how is that not cool?
I mean, also, if you have any faith in the Hollow Earth theory, this movie goes right to the Hollow Earth.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're going deep, huh?
They brought Kong with them and were like, hey, King Kong, if you go through the Hollow Earth, maybe there's more King Kongs there.
Oh.
There aren't. He just went.
Franchise, right? They just went.
Yeah, I see. I don't know how popular, well this movie's doing. It's kind of hard to
tell. Very well.
It is?
I think, yeah, so here's the thing about HBO Max, and I think this is why they really did a smart move about allowing Mortal Kombat to premiere much later, because they wanted that little breather room with King Kong. People are actually digging HBO Max, and they're now that they can watch these movies without paying extra the way Disney has it set up.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's that big perk about that. So yeah, their viewership has gone up, but like then we gotta address the elephant in the room about AT&T giving a lot of money to voter suppression groups, and not very happy about that.
No.
But it's surprisingly their motto, like their model for 2021 is looking like it's going to be very successful. But man, they're gonna really trying to get people into theaters in 2022.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like a little taste.
Well, and we talked about this last week in regards to video games, that this is kind of going to be a dead year.
Yeah.
So
this is Chris's backlog year.
Yeah. So I mean, this year is going to be a dead year for movies as well as games. Excuse me.
Yeah.
So I figure, you know, for 2021. All Warner Brothers movies are going to be streaming on Max and then in theaters. And I feel like next year, maybe certain ones will be streaming on Max and in theater, and the others on theaters.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I do think that like a lot of the entertainment industry at the end of the day is going to recover from all of this.
Yeah.
And that's how resilient the entertainment business really is. At the end of the day, it's probably one of the most resilient industries in the world. And if you look at history, the Great Depression did not destroy Hollywood. Hollywood kept on making movies because the only places that had air condition were movie theaters. Mm-hmm. But like now your home is a movie theater. Streaming networks and streaming services are like the new movie theaters. You know, if you want to prevent a pandemic, boom, that's how you do it. You give everyone infinite access to all forms of entertainment. But it's they're gonna walk away, like the entertainment industry is gonna walk away from this having a completely new motto, that model that actually is built to produce more entertainment. You know, because you were in a way, movie theaters and kind of limited you because you were just making nothing but blockbusters. Now you can adopt the Netflix model and just like, let's make 19 Adam Sandler movies in a year.
Worked out really well for Adam Sandler.
This is a real thing that's happening with Netflix. Netflix has like a few Adam Sandler movies that they're just going to be filming in Louisiana.
By the way, speaking of Netflix, did you see the trailer for Army of the Dead, Zack Snyder's new film?
I did not.
Oh, my goodness.
Is it happening?
It's happening. It looks it looks pretty cool. And I'm going to tell you two words that may change your opinion on it, and that is zombie tigers.
Zombie tigers?
Yar. I've seen I've watched that trailer three times. I'm not a huge Zack Snyder fan.
I'm with you on that. I'm really not a big fan of Zack Snyder. I think he's got a lot of technical issues that and writing and editing, and there's so I can spend a whole episode ripping apart Zack Snyder, but I'm not because I'm not a perfect filmmaker. But Zombie Tigers. You had me at Zombie Tigers.
I'm not made of stone. It's a heist movie in Las Vegas set during a zombie apocalypse.
Man.
Starring
like,
Batista and having zombie tigers.
Fuck. What are we doing with our lives, Chris?
Obviously, we're not doing as much as Zack Snyder.
There's a joke on the internet right now about the Dragon Age 2 Zack Snyder cut.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It's probably not gonna happen. Don't even bring it. No. It's not. No, I'm gonna see if I can find the zombie tigers. I don't care about this other shit. I want to see that zombie tiger.
Show me that zombie tiger.
Now, is it a white tiger or is it a Bengal tiger?
I think it used to be a white tiger.
Oh, so like Siegfried and Roy level white tiger.
It might have been. It's a zombie. It's very degraded.
Oh man, zombie tiger. Yes, it used to be a white tiger. You're right. Siegfried and Roy.
So we're gonna have to have a special discussion about Army of the Dead, I think, when it comes out.
I'm with you on this. This looks ridiculous. Man. Everything about that looks ridiculous.
Isn't it great though?
It's great. It's so, you know what? Yes, let's bring back the bad movies. Let's fight for this is what we need.
We need
good cinema and we need really bad cinema again. So like really good cinema has its own ranking system where we're like this is like art and this is amazing, and then the really bad cinema we'll just rank it by cool levels. Like that's like 4 out of 5 cool.
Yeah. I think I had to explain this. I was explaining this the other day to a theory I have that there are movies like Army of the Dead, and then there are films, which are another tier entirely. Your Parasites, your Once Upon a Time in Hollywoods, your Schindler's Lists.
Yeah, that's a whole nother existence.
That's a film, and Godzilla vs. Kong is a movie.
That's a movie. It's like Call of Duty is a video game.
Yeah.
Cool. Ghost of Tsushima, that's an experience.
That sounds so pretentious when you say it like that.
It's an interactive experience.
Oh, Jesus, I hate it.
God, I love Ghost of Tsushima.
Well, we know.
I know. Everybody on Earth knows how much I love Ghost of Tsushima. And
all right, I've got some Quora questions for you today.
Because
neither of us have seen the most recent episode of Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
But I do have to say, Baron Zemo is going to become my favorite Marvel villain.
He's such Eurotrash, and I love him.
Really is.
I know he's a bad person, but...
Well, he's awful. He's going to kill a lot of people at the end of the show.
He is, but I can't be mad at that. And I have seen the one screenshot of what U.S. Agent does at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that when we watch that.
We'll talk about that next week.
Yeah. Josh.
Yes.
What is the saddest comic book death?
The saddest comic book death?
Yes.
Oh, man. Shit. Dude. Emma Frost. She didn't really die, though, but Emma Frost... She gets broken into little pieces, and the Beast has to put her together. Well, that was really sad.
Yeah, I think it's kind of hard to say because death is such a revolving door.
You know, right? Like, no one truly, no one's gone forever in these comics.
And like the X-Men are playing with that now, but like,
yeah,
even like Gwen Stacy, Gwen's not dead.
Yeah. Spider Gwen's around, or Ghost Spider, whatever they want to call her.
Ghost Spider and Gwenpool, and she's been around. So I don't know that I've ever been sad about a comic book death.
Yeah, I don't want to say I'm personally sad, but I think the saddest comic book like death moment is that Beast putting Emma Frost back together.
Was that in Grant Morrison's run?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I want to say yes.
Okay.
What you got? What else you got?
I'm looking. What comic book resurrection sucked?
What comic book resurrection?
Yes.
Anything dealing with Jean Grey?
Which one?
All of them. No more Jean Grey. Can we just accept the fact that she should be just gone?
I mean,
we all know the White Queen is perfect for Cyclops, and at the end of the day, everyone has to accept that.
Oh, Josh, spoken like a man who's not reading current X-Men.
I am not reading current X-Men. Right?
It's a huge thruple. You gotta let that go.
Oh, I gotta let that go. There's a new thruple.
It's a thruple of Scott, Jean, and Wolverine, and Emma Frost is not there.
Oh man, Emma should be mad.
Emma's not. Emma's having a.
No, I know about that. I know about that thruple. That's a real deal thruple.
It is. They had a thing where I don't know what book it was. I was reading recently where Jean was macking on Wolverine, and Scott's like, "Hey, are you coming to bed?" And she was like, "Okay." And Emma is too busy getting ready for the Hellfire Gala.
Nice. Good for Emma.
Which will be the next major thing in the X line.
Yeah.
Josh, how should I read comic books?
How should you read them?
Yes.
Like a human being with it in your hands. Can't read it with your mind yet. What do we mean by how do I read? How should I read?
That's just the question. How do you read a comic book?
Is it a digital format you're asking you should read it in? You just take it and you open up the first page and you read the text and you look at the picture and you conceptualize, there we go, what you just saw in that panel. And then you move on and then you look at the whole picture. See, I like to do that. I like to read the text first, and I like to look at the picture, piece that together, and then I read all the panels, and before I move to the next page, I like to look at the whole page and see if I get a feeling from it.
I like that.
That's how I really read comics.
I kind of glance at the art first and see what grabs my attention before I read the words.
Cool. I dig that.
Yeah. Who do you think is a better writer, Frank Miller or Alan Moore?
Alan Moore. That's a dumb question.
See, the problem is like I think they have a very specific time where they can you can vote for either one as the best.
So yeah, I can agree with that, but like Frank Miller after 9/11, Frank Miller completely fell off the deep end.
It's true.
And he got super heavy into conservative ideology and right-wing ideology. Terror. Yeah, man, it was bad. Alan Moore's just this old like magician. He's a wizard, right? Can we agree that he's a wizard or a magician?
He's a sex wizard, yeah.
Yeah. Alan Moore is a sex wizard. There you go. You know, he exists on a whole nother level, and his writing, I think altogether is I don't know, not as questionable as Frank Miller, but Frank Miller's Daredevil is very good.
Honestly, so I think Frank Miller's best work is Year One.
Oh yeah, Year One is very good.
Actually, we were talking about our tournament of best writer ever, and I was going through Frank Miller's work because I'm the one who has submitted his name. And I was going, and it's like, I think it's Batman Year One and Daredevil. Because I really don't like Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, Dark Knight Returns, I don't like the art in Dark Knight Returns.
No. Okay, so let me rephrase. I like the first part when he fights the mutants.
Yeah.
Once Superman gets involved, I really don't care. I really don't like how Frank Miller writes Superman, so...
Yeah. No, I think, Batman Year One and Daredevil is great, and Dave, I always mix up this... I don't want to butcher his last name.
Michelini?
Muscelli? Dave Muscelli, the artist for Year One. I love his art. I really love him as an artist. It's
so good.
It's so good. It's as good as what's his name? Shit. Oh man. All these comic book artists. Who did the Astonishing X-Men run?
Cassidy,
yeah. His art is great. His facial expressions are great. But Dave Mazzucchelli is just go pick up books drawn by him.
Go to Comixology or Marvel Unlimited and get you something.
Get you something. His art is just amazing. His style is so good. And if you're a big fan of if you're a big fan of Hawkeye like myself, Fraction's run of Hawkeye, that art is inspired. Aji, it was inspired by Dave Mazzucchelli. So
yeah.
What else does Core have?
Who is the best villain in comics? We all know the answer to this.
Yeah, it's Mr. Sinister.
I was going to say Dr. Doom, but yes, I prefer Mr. Sinister.
Best hero in comics. We've agreed to that.
in that case, yes, Mr. Sinister's tremendous.
Mr. Sinister is the best.
He is. I would really recommend that you get the first trade of Marauders whenever it comes out. It's Mr. Sinister leading a team of people who hate his guts.
Oh, that is amazing. Everything about that sounds amazing.
It's Josh. It's tremendous. And it's modern era Sinister where he's vaguely foppish.
Oh man, yeah, he's a glam rocker.
Yeah, it's now the best version of Sinister. He's hit his final form, and it's even better. It's
the only version of Sinister.
Oh man! All right, let's try to find 17th
century glam rocker. I love it.
Let's find one more.
Oh man.
Okay. In the X-Men comic book story, is Magneto Jewish? Yes.
Yeah, he's always been Jewish.
Pretty heavily, yeah. I don't know if he's always been from like his earliest things, but from a certain point on, he's been Jewish.
Yeah, you could have just, you know, asked Professor X.
Yeah. Where would you rate The Watchmen among all comic book movies?
Oh, comic book movies? The Watchmen, the TV series, or
the movie.
Snyder movie?
The Snyder movie.
This is... It's better than Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
But it's a lot better than Affleck's Daredevil.
Yeah. So I think if we take the MCU as a thing, it's probably in like the upper teens.
You think so?
Probably. I mean, okay. So there's been a lot of comic book movies.
So you're considering all of Phase 1, 2, and 3 of the MCU, all one thing, which is number one.
No. I'm saying if we take the MCU as a barometer of the movies 1 through 21, as we ranked, I think it's probably somewhere in the teens, upper teens.
Yeah, maybe like 19?
That's the lower teens.
Whatever. That's low.
I guess that depends how you're looking at the list.
Yeah, I just don't see Watchmen holding up to a lot of the movies after it.
Well, and let's be real. The real problem with Watchmen is it's in fact too ambitious. The first third of that movie is perfect.
Yeah.
Up until the comedian's funeral, it's perfect. And then after that, they try to condense 10 issues into, what is it, an hour and a half, hour and a quarter?
Yeah, it just doesn't work.
There's just not enough time.
Yeah, and then it's just, thankfully, oh, thank all of the comic book gods for the fact that the Watchmen TV series happened on HBO, and that was just amazing. So I don't even believe the Watchmen movie, Zack Snyder movie, even happened. That movie was something else. I don't know. That's like later years Michael Jackson. That didn't happen.
Let's see. One more. Oh, come on. Give me something good. Give me something good.
Gora, gora, gora. Man, what a fascinating episode, huh?
It's been all over the place.
It's been all over the... Matt is missing out on this adventure. He's just going to open up the chat, and he's going to see these two texts I threw up. He's going to be questioning everything.
Okay. Here's something. There's something that I'm working on, because I'm filling in gaps in my collection. When does a comic book become extremely valuable?
Ooh, depending on how many was released, if it's a issue of like the first artist or the first writer, I also like to think cover art as well. I think some comic books value is higher due to its cover art. It's like that first Tom McFarlane cover he did for Spider-Man. And it's the most memorable Spider-Man cover ever drawn. And I think that comic in itself is only at the value it's at due to that cover art.
Kind of. So here's what I've been... I think you're right on all the other points. You know, first writer, first artist. Rarity is a big issue.
Yeah, rarity is a major... Like, the death of Superman from the 90s? No. Forget that.
Too many people have it. Our friend Kevin has a complete run of them somewhere because everyone was buying them, and it was Speculation Town.
That was during the speculation rush in the 90s of comics, where people were buying comics so they could, you know, have the value of it in the future, and none of them had that value.
And I will tell you, the speculation rush is here again. So... I am filling out gaps in my collection. I am working on doing a lot of stuff. So I'm missing an issue of the Geoff Johns Green Lantern run, issue number 25. It's the final issue of the Sinestro Corps War. It is also the first appearance of Atrocitus and Saint Walker and Larfleas.
Oh,
and because, that's a big one. And because it is a first appearance book of so many major characters, it's very expensive.
Yeah, that's a major one.
So another thing to look out for, first appearances. And yeah. There is a speculator market. Bloodshot, who's Idris Elba in this new Suicide Squad movie, his first appearance in Superman has been jumping up in price.
Interesting, yeah.
Miss Marvel, since she's got her TV show, her first appearance has been jumping up in price.
Man,
an issue.
I'm hoping for that Spider Gwen to come out because I have a whole run of Spider Gwen I'm holding on to.
an issue of Uncanny X-Men that I'm looking to fill in my gaps. Number 266 is the first appearance of Gambit. So,
You know who has that book?
Who?
Doug has that book.
Nice, good for him.
And I know exactly where you can find a really good version of that book. It's at Magazine Antiques. Oh shit, I shouldn't even say it on the air.
No, you type it out to me. I'll go look for it later. but also, another thing that's affecting value is whether your comics are slabbed or not. Graded by the CGC, who is a comic grading company, and depending on the quality of on a 10-point scale.
Right, and that's can always be a tricky thing because you know you. I kind of feel like you want to read some of these comics.
Sometimes. Honestly, though, you know, in my collecting, I'm getting deep into the Silver Age of Justice League of America and The Flash. And I have resigned myself to the fact that some of those books are slabbed, and they're just going to be slabbed. And I'm okay with that because I read my comics digitally.
Yeah.
And if I really want to read them, I'll just download them.
How do you read your comics? Digitally.
But yeah, that's it. That's it for this week. We'll be back next week, I'm sure, with Matt.
I'm positive Matt will be back.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I'll share information off the air about where you can find that Gambit book.
Yeah. I appreciate you. All right, so... until next week, we'll be back. Watch your stories, read some comics,
play some video games,
listen to music. Yeah,
go see a movie.
Yeah,
go get some fresh air. Listen to this while you're walking around. It's been raining.
It's been raining, but like if you're in a place that has sunshine, sit in the sunshine, get that vitamin C.
That's vitamin D.
Oh, whatever. Who cares? I'm deficient of it anyway. I'm now going to go and hang out with my friends at Shujin Academy. All right.
There you
go. Good night, everyone.
Good night.